They had, indeed, discussed it to death, she thought, and neither of them, nor any of the other counselors and advisors she truly trusted, had been able to come up with a satisfactory theory. Some of those advisors, the ones who had argued most strenuously in favor of refusing this meeting, were certain it was simply one more trap designed to drag, or push, Chisholm deeper into the Carisian quagmire. Charlene wasn't certain why she didn't agree with that interpretation herself. Certainly, it made sense. The spontaneous return of her surrendered warships must have already tainted Chisholm with suspicious distrust in the eyes of the group of four. The fact that she dared to receive Sir Samuel Turner as King Caleb of Carus's ambassador, despite the minor fact that she was still technically at war with Caleb's kingdom, could only have underscored that distrust. And now, this. Somehow I doubt that rendering formal honors to Carisian warships here in my own capital's harbor while receiving the First Counselor of Carus as Caleb's personal envoy is going to do a thing for me in that pig Clinton's eyes, she thought. The doomsayers are right about that much, at least. On the other hand, how much worse can it get? It was a more than academic question, under the circumstances. She had no doubt at all that the group of four must have realized she and her admirals had dragged their heels in every possible way after receiving their orders to support Hector of Coruscant against Carus. Indeed, it would have been amazing if Charlene hadn't, given the fact that she was probably the only monarch Hector hated more than he'd hated Harald the Seventh, or the fact that she probably hated him even more than he hated her. Still, the fact that so many of her navy's warships had surrendered intact had probably been going a bit too far, even for someone as experienced in the cynical realities of politics as Chancellor Trenaire. And Caleb's generosity in returning those surrendered ships to her without even seeking reparations for her part in the attack which had killed his father, along with several thousand of his subjects, had been a shrewd move on his part. She wanted to resent the way he'd deliberately maneuvered her into a position which could not but make the group of four furious with her. What had started as a simple move to conserve her own military power by cooperating with Hector as grudgingly as possible started to look dangerously like active collusion with Carus in the wake of Caleb's spontaneous gesture. No one in the temple was likely to forgive that, which could all too easily have fatal consequences for her own kingdom in the fullness of time. But she could scarcely complain over the fact that Caleb had done precisely what she would have done had their roles been reversed. Anything which might divert at least some of the group of four's attention and resources from Carus had to be worthwhile from Caleb's perspective. And again, from his perspective, any lever he could use to encourage Chisholm into some sort of active alliance with Carus rather than against it had to be tried. Indeed, what she felt far more strongly than any sort of resentment was an unbegrudged admiration for how well Caleb clearly understood that. And be honest, Charlene, she thought. From the very beginning, you would have preferred aligning yourself with Carus to finding yourself allied with Hector and Narmon. If you'd thought Harald had a single chance of surviving, you would have proposed an alliance to him, and you know it. That's the real reason you accepted Caleb's gift when he returned your galleys, and it's the real reason you let him send Turner to Cerethe as well. There's a part of you that still prefers Carus to Hector, isn't there? And it's just possible Caleb does have a chance of surviving, maybe even winning after all. She watched the galleons which represented that chance of victory moving sedately towards their anchorage and wondered what the Earl of Greyharbor had come all this way to say to her.